Chapter 4. 1 John 4. Talking about things we know. Trying to hit the ground running again and get back where we were. Things that we know. When I talk on the subject fairly often, but we'll go a little different direction. 1 John 4, things we can know. We can know that He dwells in us. We can know that He dwells in us. We can know that the Lord dwells in us. 1 John 4, verse 10, it says, "Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and His love is perfected in us. Hereby know we that we dwell in Him, and He in us, because He hath given us of His Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father hath sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him." Let's pray, and let's talk about we know He is in us. Lord, it's wonderful to have the Holy Spirit, the one we're talking about tonight, and it's wonderful that He can speak to each one of us. I pray that the Word of God would be clear to us tonight. We would understand how blessed we are to have God in us and in the presence of the Holy Spirit. Lord, You said the mystery is Christ in You, the hope of glory. And Jesus said He'd come into us in the form of the Spirit in John 14. And we have this Holy Spirit inside of us. That's a powerful witness in us, Lord. And I pray we would get that doctrine tonight and understand it. I pray that the Holy Spirit would speak to us and help us to get it and help us to understand it. And give me Your power as I speak. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. First thing we see here is we don't see God, but we know He is here. We don't see God. The Bible says here that we do not physically see God. If you saw God, you couldn't have faith. The Bible says we walk by faith, not by sight. People say, "If I just saw God, I'd have faith." No, you wouldn't. If you see God, you can't have faith. You have sight. That's God doesn't let you see Him, but He does give enough witness for you to have faith. You just got to trust what He's revealed to you. And He gives enough where He says, "I've given enough where every man is without excuse." Verse 13, I'm going to go back a little bit. Verse 12, "No man has seen God at any time." Okay, the Bible says we haven't seen Him. But we also at the same time know that He is in us. It says, "No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and His love is perfected in us. Hereby know we that we dwell in Him." So here's how you know that you're dwelling Christ. It says, "And He in us, because He hath given us of His Spirit." Now, there's several ways we know we're saved. The number one is the Bible says, if we've trusted Christ, if we're born again, we're saved, we're going to heaven. 1 John 5:13 says, we know because the Word says so. And so we see that. But another witness we have is we know we dwell in Him and He dwells in us by His Spirit. Okay? And that's what He says. He says that very clearly. Let's look at chapter 3 and verse 24. "He that keepeth His commandments dwelleth in Him, and He in him. And hereby know we that He abideth in us by His Spirit, which He hath given us." We know He abides in us by His Spirit. Now, it's a long experience sometimes. Sometimes you get saved and you instantly know somebody came inside. I mean, that happens. That isn't always the case, but sometimes you get saved, you instantly know the Holy Spirit's there. In my case, I got the Holy Spirit inside of me when I got saved, but I didn't know any doctrine, and I felt very powerful that God heard me when I prayed for salvation. I knew I was sincere, but I didn't know. All I knew is I started getting different desires. I started desiring the Word of God and having a hunger for the Word of God, and I began feeling conviction for my sin. I did not know that was the Holy Spirit. I didn't understand all that until later when I understood the doctrine. Now, of course, once I understood the doctrine, it all made perfect sense. That's what happens when the Holy Spirit comes inside of you. I began to get in this desire to pray, as Romans 8 says. He gives us a spirit of adoption whereby we cry, Abba, Father. He puts a bunch of things in us that are going to make us want God, that give us the desire to grow and all those things. But I did not understand that doctrine, but I knew the Holy Spirit was there. Something was different. After a while, I said, boy, something sure is different. And I'm changing. Everybody who knew me started saying, boy, you're changing. And they said it in many different forms, sometimes good, sometimes bad. And but they said that and they saw it. And I knew something different was there. Now, that's the same thing once I understood the doctrine is when I said I was in the hospital and praying and saying, Lord, if you don't want me to be here, then tell me to leave. I was very confident that he would say, get out of here. The Holy Spirit lives inside of me. He leads me. He speaks to me. And he would have told me to leave if it would have been bad or dangerous if it wasn't his will. And he didn't speak to me. Many times God will speak to me and say, do this or don't do this. I don't hear a voice. I have a person inside of me, the Holy Spirit. He is as real as anything. He speaks to me. He tells me what sermon to preach. He speaks to me and convicts me when I do wrong. And I know somebody's inside of there talking to me. You, when you're saved and you once you begin to get close to God a little bit, you know somebody's in there. You know the Holy Spirit. And that's a evidence of salvation. You know it. And I say, you know, if you don't ever feel conviction for your sin, you never get a hunger for the Word of God, if you don't know some point that something changed inside, you better check your salvation. Because hereby know we that we dwell in Him. You aren't saved. You don't get saved because you feel something inside. You have a person you know is there. Okay, that's not necessarily a feeling. You might go into a room and you say, you ever been in a dark room and you know somebody's there anyway? Or you're in the house and you know somebody's there. You just know. And the Holy Spirit's presence in your life is so real as a person being there. He's a person. His presence is so real, you know He's there. And so he speaks to you and He convicts you and He comforts you and he leads and guides you and so many things the Holy Spirit does. When He is there, you say, somebody's inside. And it's the Holy Spirit, and He does everything the Bible says that He does. And now, by the way, I don't want to get sidetracked, but we know that He's there. Number two, we know He is in us by the Holy Spirit dwelling in us. We don't see Him, but we know He's there. Number two, we know He is in us by the Holy Spirit. And we already kind of covered that, but we know it's because of the Holy Spirit. The Bible says in James 4:5, the Spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy. We're in 1 John. Let's look at chapter 5 and verse 10. That person inside of us is the Holy Spirit. We got a little ahead of ourselves. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. And he that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. You get the witness in you when you get saved. Let's turn to Romans chapter 8. And read. In Romans 8 is a lot about the Holy Spirit. And read just a couple verses here out of Romans 8. The Holy Spirit is a witness saying, hello, I'm here. I'm inside of you. You're saved. You're born again. You're going to heaven. I'm here. Hey, I'm in here. And the Holy Spirit. And so, if I didn't have the Bible, which I'm so thankful I do, we just went to whole villages where nobody had a Bible. The pastor had to borrow one. The storm came through. One pastor told me, Yolanda came through and stole all our Bibles. And we took and they gave the whole church a Bible. And if I didn't have a Bible, I had the Holy Spirit inside of me. Now, without the Bible, you're in a lot of trouble. The Spirit uses the Scripture. But you could still know you're saved even if you didn't have the Bible. Because you know the Holy Spirit's inside there. You would know that. And Romans chapter 8 and verse 16, the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. The Holy Spirit says to our spirit inside of us, you are the children of God. The bearing witness of the Spirit, by the way, I find that I can do this with other Christians. Sometimes I'll talk to somebody, and I know pretty quick they're a Christian. even if we're not talking about spiritual things. There's just something, the Holy Spirit's inside there. My spirit is and the spirit inside of me, there's something there. And by the way, you can also discern wrong spirits. And something's wrong there. And the Holy Spirit bears witness. The Holy Spirit says, hey, I'm telling your spirit I'm here. I'm telling you you're the child of God. And so the Holy Spirit is in there. He's a witness. He's saying, I am here. I'm telling you, God dwells in you. In other words, it's another assurance of salvation. And it's not just a feely thing. You can get feely things from 10,000 things. But it's a person bearing witness, giving testimony, just like a witness on a stand, that I am in you. And he's telling you, I am there. And so we have that witness in ourselves. This indwelling of the Holy Spirit and getting the witness in us of salvation, it happens at salvation in Romans 8, verse 9. But we are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. You're not saved. And if Christ be in you, now he just substituted that, by the way. He just substituted the Holy Spirit for Christ. They're used interchangeably. You're told that, we'll read in a minute in John 14, that the Father dwells in you and will make his abode in you. It just said the Holy Spirit dwells in you. Now it says Christ, because it's a Trinity, and they're used interchangeably for dwelling in us. And if one's in there, then God's in you, and all three are in there, and that's just part of the Trinity thing. It says, and if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin. There's the Spirit, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. By the way, in the Bible, you can find it, separately it says the Father raised Jesus from the dead. Right here it says the Spirit raised Jesus from the dead. And Jesus said, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. The Trinity is always used interchangeably. And so here it says this Holy Spirit dwells in you. And if not, then you're not saved, because we see that. Let me take you back to 1 John. So because of that, the Holy Spirit does a bunch of things. You'll know he's there because he's doing his work. I would not need to see construction workers across the street. I just keep on seeing building go up. Matter of fact, a lot of you probably don't see the construction workers over there. But you see the building going up, so you're assuming there's construction workers going over there. Unless you believe in evolution, then it's happening. And it's evolving up. And because things go from nothing to something all the time. And so if you don't believe in evolution, you figure there's a maker, a builder there. And so even if you don't see the construction workers, you say, look, something's getting built over there. And so we believe there's construction workers, because the work is being done. And the work of the Spirit, there's many works that the Spirit does, but one of the works is the Spirit leads and guides you into all truth. The Holy Spirit will show me what the Bible says. The Holy Spirit, when I need to know truth, it's amazing how I read the right part of the Bible when I need it. Because the Holy Spirit leads me to that part of the Bible. It's amazing how when you need a certain sermon, the Holy Spirit tells me to preach on that subject. Whether you want that or not, it's what you need. And that's the Holy Spirit telling me and speaking to me and speaking to you through the Word of God. That's the Holy Spirit leading us and guiding us. And the Bible says he does that, so you can see that work in 1 John 2 and verse 20. But ye have an unction from the Holy One, and you know all things. Verse 27. But the anointing, that's the Holy Spirit, which ye have received of him abideth in you. Remember, it's talking about the Holy Spirit abiding in us. And you need not that any man teach you. If you can memorize a phrase of a verse, memorize that phrase. It destroys Catholicism, by the way. You need not that any man teach you, but the same anointing teaches you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie. Even as it taught you, ye shall abide in him. So the Holy Spirit can teach you. Now, if you're listening to the Holy Spirit and I preach bad doctrine, the Holy Spirit can tell you that's not true. Okay? Because you have the Holy Spirit inside of you. By the way, that's why we push you and push you and push you to read the Bible. And I don't tell you to say, but when you read this, this is what this really means. I have no worry about what you're going to find when you read the Bible. We push and push and push. Read your Bible on your own. We had 22 or 23 people last year read the Bible through at least once and many, many times. And a strange thing, those who just read their Bible and listen to the Holy Spirit come up with the same thing. Those who have an alternative authority or have an alternative tradition that is stronger than listening to the Lord will come up with something different because that the Bible says a hardness of heart. But we're not worried about that. When I was in the Philippines, the church has gotten very big now, and it's called Iglesia de Cristo, and it's different from the Church of Christ in America. It's a Philippine thing, and it's a cult. And the leader said that he was the seventh angel of Revelation who brought out the last message. And when you become a member of this church, they do two things. They tell you, turn in your Bible. You are not allowed to read the Bible. And if you are found in the Bible, you are kicked out of the church and removed from the church. And you are not allowed to read the Bible on your own. Their pastor will tell you what the Bible says. Thank you. And they will tell the pastor what the Bible says. And you're not allowed to read the Bible. Well, my Bible says that we have the Holy Spirit inside of each one of us. And by the way, anytime you go to a church and they try to get you, they say, don't read the Bible. It's probably a bad church, you think? When they take your Bible away, what are they afraid of you finding? And it's second biggest religion in the country right now. It's huge. Listen, the Holy Spirit's inside of every believer, and He can lead and guide us into all truth, and any believer can listen to the Holy Spirit and find out what God says. Doesn't mean you don't need to hear preaching. The Bible says God uses preaching. Doesn't mean you don't need to go to church. They teach the Word. The Bible says you're supposed to. That's part of the Word of God that says to do that. It just says, you know what? You are accountable to God to listen to the Holy Spirit. You've got the Holy Spirit inside of you. And you if you follow somebody cult-like and go into error, that's your fault. You have the Holy Spirit inside of you. Now, I don't think you're going to get wrong doctrine open door. We've never, that I know of, ever taught wrong doctrine. But you know what? I believe if I taught wrong doctrine in our church, I think you would know it. Because you study your Bibles and you listen to the Holy Spirit. And man can be in error. So we have the Holy Spirit. We know that. He speaks to us. He tells us. And He says, hey, this is the truth. This is the Spirit of truth. And He will lead and guide you into all truth. Number three, this makes us the temple of God. Because God dwells in us, this makes us a temple of God. And just, I'll turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. By the way, that church teaches that Jesus was not any, he had no deity to him. He was just a perfect man. And no wonder they don't want you to read your Bible, because you'd find out that wasn't true pretty quick. Just start in John chapter 1, and that'll be dispelled. And you won't have to get any farther than that. And John chapter 1. We're in 1 Corinthians 3, though. And 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16. It says, know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? We know that. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And that was verse 16. Now chapter 6 and verse 19. What? Know ye not that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? You are the temple of God. You are God's building He dwells in, because the Holy Spirit lives inside of you. Number four, and this is important. This is real important to understand this. Living God's way brings a greater and more clear presence in our lives. Living God's way brings a greater and more clear presence in our life. 1 John 4. This is where a backslider, let me explain. When you're saved and you're serving the Lord, you know you're saved. The Word of God says so. The Spirit tells you you're saved. And the exception to that is when someone, sometimes people are over self-analytical and they keep looking at their own badness. And they quit looking at Christ's forgiveness, and they kind of doubt their salvation sometimes. But aside from that, what happens is someone gets away from God. And when I find a backslider, I'm knocking on doors. I knock on the door. Here comes somebody, and I meet him, and they say, oh, you know what? They say, I need to get back in church. Oh, that's great. Praise the Lord. And, you know, I was saved, you know, 24 years ago. And then, you know what? I got away from God, and I don't even know if I'm saved anymore. They'll say things like that. Or they'll say, I got saved four times because I kept not feeling it anymore. You know, the reason they say that is this point right here. Because the presence of God, the Holy Spirit dwelling in you, the Holy Spirit, the closer in obedience you are, the more you're pleasing God, the more you're living the Word, the more you have a powerful glow of the Holy Spirit in your life. He's just right there. And the farther you get from God, the Bible calls it quenching the Spirit, for example. When you quench the Spirit, suddenly you've grieved the Spirit. The Holy Spirit's not working powerfully in your life. He's not moving powerfully. You don't sense Him like you used to. God never moved, but maybe you're over here and you don't sense that real powerfully, because He says those that do certain things are going to know that He's dwelling in them. And I just know in my life, when I'm doing the right thing and doing what God wants me to do, the presence of God is so real. The Holy Spirit's so real right there. I mean, He's whispering in my ear. I can sense His peace and love and joy and the fruit He brings. I mean, just the Holy Spirit's right there. When I'm not doing right, I feel like, Lord, where are You? Because though He always dwells there and He never leaves, though He never leaves us nor forsakes us, He does become distant. He does become quiet. You ever offend? You ever hurt somebody and they're in the house with you, but they're not with you? They kind of go silent. They kind of act like you're not there. Sometimes some homes, they don't even know if the other one's home or not. Why? Because the relationship is so messed up that there's no interaction. And they don't even know if the other one's there. Because of the distance between the two. And that's what happens with the Holy Spirit. Let's look at some verses that say these things. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 12. No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and His love is perfected in us. Now you see there, hereby know we that we dwell in Him, and He in us, because He hath given us of His Spirit. Notice there He says, we haven't seen God, but if we love one another, God dwells in us. Now, God doesn't ever leave us or forsake us, Hebrews 13, 5 and 6. He never leaves us nor forsake us, but He dwells there in a very powerful way. You ever had a family member at your house who didn't really want to be there? You ever been in a family member's house you didn't want to be there? Now they used to do something. We used to go and find the corner of the yard and act like we were busy. Now we have this thing called a phone, and they just go, and they're not there anymore. God really dwells with those who are full of love, it says here. Verse 16, and we have known and believed the love that God hath toward us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. If you have a love problem, sometimes you have an assurance problem. Sometimes you'll not feel like the presence of God is working in your life, because God is love. Where there isn't love, God doesn't like dwelling. In a real powerful, intimate. Now He's still there. You're the temple. God still is inside of you, but He's just sitting in a little corner, real quiet and quenched. Says, I don't want any part of this. I do, and fill a place, fill a church, fill a home, fill a person's life with love, and God starts filling. And boy, you sense the presence of the Holy Spirit there. You ever gone to a place where it's a harsh, unloving place, and you feel a totally different spirit just like that? That's a different spirit, of course. But the Spirit of God dwells where love is. For example, that's one thing. He dwells in a special way, and really is the Holy Spirit's presence. Well, you'll feel more assurance if you're keeping His commandments. 1 John 3:24. And he that keepeth His commandments dwelleth in Him, and He in him. God dwells in you, and you dwell in God. And hereby know we that He abide in us by the Spirit which He hath given us. If you obey God, let me take you to John 14. It'll say this also. Let's show you a couple places there. So you see, the Holy Spirit dwells in every believer, but some believers aren't going to really have an intense, assured, I'm right there presence of God in their life. They're not going to feel the Holy Spirit. They're not going to sense the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's not going to keep speaking like He was and leading like He was for those who aren't obedient Christians. And pretty soon, they'll say, you know, I used to know the Holy Spirit is inside of me, but I don't sense that anymore. It wasn't that God left. It's that you've grieved him and you're not keeping his commandments, so he's not doing his mighty work in your life, and he's just sitting quietly until you repent and turn and come back to him. John 14, again, some people get more of that presence and the indwelling of God. The indwelling's already there, but the dwelling presence of God. Verse 21. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and will manifest myself to him. Now, does God already love them? We're in the book of John, John 3:16, for God so loved the world. But and I'm not teaching this, but you can find in the passage, God loves some Christians more. Okay? I love everybody, but I love some people more. I love my wife more. Okay? Does it mean I didn't? I love Ron most of the time. I love Ron. I love Horace. I love Daniel. But I hate to say this, but I love Timmy more. Okay? Nothing wrong with that. Now, there's times I love Timmy less. And there's times God loves me less. He still loves me. God has an initial love for the worst sinner in the world. He loves Hitler. He loves everybody. But God loves some people. And we can get into that. But the Bible says that if a man loves God, here's what it says right there. The verse says, he that loves Jesus, he that hath my commandments to keep with him, he that loveth me. And he that loveth me, so if you love Jesus, the Father loves you for loving his Son. By the way, isn't that true about us? If somebody loves your kids, won't you say, yeah, that person's great. They have good taste. And so, we love Jesus. The Father says, you love my Son. I really love you because you love my Son. And then he says, you know what? Since they love my Son and I love them, we're going to really dwell with them in a real intimate way. It says, he shall be loved to my Father, and I will love him, and I will manifest myself to him. Judas saith unto him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world? How are you going to manifest yourself to us and the world not see it? Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. So he says, those that keep my commandments, they get a special thing, and those that love me, and I dwell with them, and they get the real assurance of the Holy Spirit in their life. Next, how do we get the Holy Spirit to really dwell in a powerful way and really sense that? We have a separation from the world's uncleanness. This is the problem in much of Christianity today. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. A separation from the world's uncleanness. The Holy Spirit doesn't like uncleanness. His first name is holy. So when we live at the world's uncleanness, the Holy Spirit says, I'm here because I have to be, but I'm not really going to be in the middle of everything. 2 Corinthians in chapter 6. And verse 16. And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I'll receive you, and I'll be unto you a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and my daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. So we see that separation from the world's uncleanness. Now, God says, I dwell in you. We know God dwells in us. We can know that. But we know it much more clearly. We know it much more powerfully when we're loving God, keeping his commandments, keeping ourselves clean. In other words, grievous Christians get distant from God. By the way, they get very confused because they don't have the spirit of truth. They get wrong doctrine. They get messed up in their mind. They think that you can get saved a bunch of times. They get all messed up. And that is because we get away from the Holy Spirit of God. My wife told me, every day you've been gone, Becca wakes up crying and said, I want my daddy home. And she was she wanted to see Daddy, and Rana was very emotional to see me when she got home. Now, since I've been home all 3 days, I've got extra special attention. I've been reading to them. This morning, Becca grabbed a hold of my leg and just was hugging me. And then I had to go somewhere, and she laid on the ground and grabbed a hold of my foot. And you ever walk your kids around the room? And so I walked around, and I just kept walking around for a while with Becca, say, sliding around the kitchen floor. And, you know, they especially right now like me. They should keep that. And I said, I got to go to the Philippines more often. And now I know when they're home. They know when I'm home. Why? Because they're close right now. Because they miss me. Because they want to be with me. And my wife, she's always like that. Whenever I'm home, she's excited when I get home. And she always makes me feel like that. And, you know, I know when I'm home. And I know when my family is there because we're a close family. Because I love my kids and they love me. And that is it. But, you know, when I grew up, my home wasn't like that. We didn't always pay attention to each other. We didn't know if the other one's home or not. Somebody would call and say, hey, is David there? And I'd say, I don't know, hold on. David! And I didn't know if he's home or not. Because they might be in their own room doing their own thing and we weren't close. You know, you got the Holy Spirit inside of you. You got a person inside there. You know it when he's really working if you haven't grieved or quenched him, if you're listening to him. He'll lead you, he'll comfort you, he'll guide you, he'll give you fruit in your life, love and joy and peace and long-suffering. He leads you into the scripture. He gives you hunger for the word of God. He does many things. We know we're saved. Amen? The Bible says, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know you have eternal life. I know I'm saved because I trust Jesus as my Savior. But I also know I'm saved because I know the Holy Spirit's inside here. And hereby know we that we are in Him because He hath given us of His Spirit. Isn't it good to have the Holy Spirit inside of you? If you miss that presence, then maybe God's speaking to you. Maybe the Holy Spirit's speaking to you a little bit about maybe something that's come up that's made you not know and sense His presence in your life. But you should know He's in you by His Spirit inside of you. Let's go ahead and pray. Lord, thank you. We can know so many things, and thank you. We can know that the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, dwells inside of us. What a great, great, great thing. I pray tonight, Lord, each one of us would have joy in that extra assurance, Lord, that we're saved because the Holy Spirit is inside of us, speaking, convicting, guiding, and all the things He does. I pray, Lord, if we don't know that presence anymore like we did once, I pray tonight, whatever you, and I pray the Holy Spirit would reveal Himself by telling us exactly what has caused that quietness and that lack of conviction, the lack of joy or the lack of peace or the lack of a passion for you, the lack of fire in our lives that the Spirit gives us, Lord. I pray that we would know that. And I pray you'd speak to us and help us all to be right tonight and leave here having the double assurance of the Word of God and the Spirit of God that, whereby we know we are in you. Thank you for giving us these advantages and these blessings. In Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, our eyes are closed.